Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into our Torah portion for this week. I hope that you are reading along at home, learning and studying his commandments and his instructions on how we are to love him and love people. So for this week, I want to look at Numbers chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, The people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard, with the banners of their fathers' houses. They shall camp, facing the tent of meeting on every side." Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment. Now, this Torah portion spends a lot of time actually numbering the children of Israel as they are there in the wilderness. And the numbering is not all of Israel, but it's actually the men who are capable of going to war. So what we're actually reading here is we are learning, you could say, the size of Israel's army. This reading is kind of dedicated to the army of Israel, to Israel's army. We read of the formation of how they're going to march as they are moving. We read of the formation of how they're going to set up camp. It is very much a military type reading that we are reading through this week. And these terms that we read about are actually military type terms, or you could say fighting terms, terms that you would use for people or a nation going into battle. When it says the people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard, the standard is actually speaking of an army. This is talking about the numbers, the number of that which is in that army. So each is camping by his army. So each son or each tribe had his own army. You had the standard or the tribe of Judah. That represented one army, and they had their banner. And the same for Dan, the same for Naphtali, the same for Asher. They all had their own number, their own standard. You could say their own battalion is probably the word we would use today, battalion. And they all had their own flag. And this flag represented them as their standard, their battalion going into war. So just as when America goes into war, and we see the videos of old as they would go into the land into battle, they would be flying the Star Spangled Banner with them. It's the same idea of what we're seeing here. There was a banner, or you could say a flag, which each tribe had. And this banner would go with them, this flag would go with them into war when they went into battle. So this is the imagery of what we're reading of here in this Torah portion. And something as we're going to talk about and we're going to run through here is, you know, is one of the things and one of the names of Yahweh is the fact that he is Yahweh, our banner. He is the one who fights for us. So when we think about the fact that his name is Yahweh or the Lord, our banner, Yahweh, our banner, what he is saying, what that name represents, is he is the one who fights for us. Okay? We are part of his army. We have been enlisted into his army. We have been enlisted into an army that has been called to fight a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. We're not running through the land trying to physically take over land, but we are spiritually trying to take land. How do we spiritually take land? By spreading his gospel, by winning the lost over, by having sinners repent from their sin, turning from the kingdom of darkness and embracing the kingdom of Yeshua and deciding to believe in him and to walk in his ways, to walk just as Yeshua walked. So that's how we advance his kingdom. We have been called to go into the world, to the nations of the world, to make disciples of all nations of the world, to teach them Yeshua, to tell them of his gospel, that they would believe in him and walk just as he walked. And as we serve this purpose, as we go about doing what he has called us to do, he is there with us. He is fighting for us. He is advancing our cause for us. You know, he sends his angels to minister unto us and also to fight for us, to guard us, to watch over us, to go before us, to make a way for us as we do that which he has called us to do. Because he is a banner flying over us. So let's look at Song of Songs, chapter 2, in verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So this is the same idea of this banner that we read about in Numbers, this flag that was brought into war. So he has this banner, or this idea, or this concept of war, a battle, of fighting over us. So he is fighting over us, or he is guarding over us. And the writer of Song of Songs is saying that this banner over us was love. It is his love for us, because he desires for us to be his people. We are a precious people unto him. We are a chosen people unto him, a chosen priesthood, a royal priesthood unto him. Israel was a chosen people from all the nations of the world. So whoever believes in Yeshua are grafted into believing Israel. So even the non-Jew who believes in Yeshua is grafted into believing Israel. To those of Israel who believe in Yeshua, we're grafted in, and we are a chosen people to whom he flies his banner over. Or you could say he watches over us. He is fighting for us. He is guarding us. He has a hedge of protection over us. That is the imagery that we see here. We look at Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now, this, in the story of Job we're reading here, is this is Satan himself who has come before God, before Yahweh, and he is asking for permission to be able to attack Job. And listen to what he says. He says, the devil tells Yahweh, have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? Satan is telling God, I can't touch this man because you have put a hedge around him. That is what it means when we walk in covenant with Yahweh. When we are his children, when we are his people, and we are walking faithfully with him, we are like Job. He puts his banner over us, or he puts a hedge around us, to the point to where Satan himself cannot put his hands on us. He cannot bring his destruction into our lives, because that's what he desires. He desires to steal, kill, and destroy. He desires to steal from us, to destroy our lives, and destroy that which we have, which ultimately, that is what sin does. Sin can be pleasurable for a season, but it leads to destruction. It will destroy our lives. And he is seeking to do that. But Yahweh puts a hedge around us. Now, in this story, we see that God allows the hedge to come down, and he allows Job to be tested. We will go through seasons where we will be tested, but we will not be tested beyond that which we can handle. But the thing I really want us to point out and really learn from this today is the fact that we have a loving God who loves us, who is faithful in his end of the covenant. Even when we are not perfectly faithful unto him, he remains faithful. And he puts a hedge around us, and he protects us, and he will not allow the evil one to steal us from him. We may face testings. We may be tested, but we will not be tested above that which we can handle, and he will put his hedge of protection around us and protect us. That is the promise. That is the goodness of Yahweh. That is something that we can look forward to. When we say, Yahweh is my banner, we can say he is Yahweh of hosts. That's the same concept. Host is a term of a military army. He is the Lord of an army. He fights. He is a fighting God, and he is constantly fighting against our enemy on our behalf. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 26. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. So Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine whose heavens dropped down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by Yahweh, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph? Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. This is one of the promises that Yahweh gave unto Israel, and as unto us who believe in Yeshua, who has been grafted into believing Israel, this is a promise unto us as well. Yahweh is our shield of help. He will guide us, protect us. He is our help. He is the sword of our triumph. The sword speaks of the attack of that which defeats the enemy. So not only is he protecting us, but he is also attacking our enemy on our behalf for us. Now, this does not mean that we as believers do nothing. We need to play our part. We need to be people of prayer. We fight our spiritual battle through prayer and being on our knees and crying out for help unto him. And when we do that, we can rest assured and know that he is our shield protecting us, and he is our sword going out before us, attacking our enemies. Our enemies will fawn before us, so they will fall down before us, and we will tread upon their backs. We will defeat our enemies. But we will not defeat our enemies because of what we have done. We will defeat our enemies because of the goodness of God, because of the one whom we serve, because he is a faithful God, because he is the Lord of hosts. He is Yahweh, our banner. We boast in him. We boast in what he has done. And this is a promise that was given unto Israel when they walked in obedience to his word. So we need to be people who are faithful to his word, who are faithful to his covenant, if we want to see this promise fulfilled in our lives. We can't be a people who practice sin, who practice disobedience, who rejects his word, rejects obedience to his word, rejects his ways, wants to do our own thing, walk in our flesh, walk as the world walks. We're constantly seeking to be conformed unto this world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua, and then expect to see his banner over us, to expect to see a hedge of protection upon us, or expect to see him defeating our enemies on our behalf. Because we read in another portion of the Torah that when they would disobey his Torah, when they rejected his word and instead walked in lawlessness, or you could say walked in disobedience, or you could say in our case, when we desire to be transformed or conformed to this world by being disobedient unto his word, and we reject being transformed into the image of Yeshua, we will see and we will experience the same thing that was spoken unto Israel. And he says, not that your enemy will no longer flee before you, but you will flee before your enemy. So rebellion, or straight rejection of his word, disobedience to his word, will lead to destruction in our lives and will cause us to be fleeing from our enemy. Or you could even say surrendering unto our enemy. Destruction will come into our lives if we make a practice of sinning in our lives instead of seeking to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, seeking to be pure as he was pure. How are we transformed into the image of Yeshua? By walking just as he walked. And he walked in perfect obedience to the commandments of his father. He did the will of his father. He was obedient unto the Torah, to the commands and the instructions which he was given. So that's what we have been called to do. Walk in the commandments of the Father. Walk in the commandments Yeshua has given us. And walk in the commandments of the Torah. Then we are transformed into the image of Yeshua. And we reject conformity unto the world. Let's look at Psalms chapter 6 and verse 4. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to you from the bow, Selah. So here the psalmist is saying, think about this, meditate upon this. You have set up a banner, or you have set up a hedge of protection. You have set up an army, a host of people, a standard of people who are ready to fight for those who fear Yahweh. What does it mean to fear Yahweh? Well, it simply means to obey him. We fear him when we walk in obedience to his word. And I want to show you that here in Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So here in this passage that we just read, we see Abraham is being tested. If you remember, Abraham waited many years for the promise that Yahweh had given him that he would bear a child. And through his child, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the ground or the dust on the ground. He waited many years for this. And he finally receives his promise. And the boy is growing up. And as the boy is growing up, you know, every day he's looking at the fulfillment of this promise that was given to him from Yahweh. And he's also able to look at the future promise of what is coming through Isaac. But here he is tested. He is told to bring Isaac up on top of the mountain and to offer him as a sacrifice there on top of the mountain. You could say, is Yahweh, what is the test here that he is giving Abraham? Is it, do you love me more than you love the promise? Will you obey me even though it seems like you may lose the promise? Or was the test maybe something else, that it may look like you have lost the promise, but I will still provide for you? But anyway, he is being tested at this moment to see, Abraham, are you going to obey me even when it will cost you something that you love dearly? Abraham loved Isaac dearly. He brings him to the top of this mountain. He straps him. He ties him down to the altar. And he takes the knife and he is ready to slaughter his son Isaac. At this moment, Yahweh knows and he sees that Abraham will obey him no matter what he tells him to do, and no matter what it will cost Abraham. He is going to test us the same way. Will you obey me even if it's going to cost you something you love dearly? How much are you willing to obey me? How much are you willing to give up? How much of the cost are you willing to pay to obey me? That was the whole thing here. Is Abraham going to obey me? And upon Abraham choosing to obey Yahweh, what does the angel of Yahweh say unto him? For now I know that you fear God. How do I know that you fear God? Because you obeyed God. You obeyed God even though it was going to cost you something you loved. To fear God is to obey God. So when Proverbs tells us the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of Yahweh, so the beginning of wisdom is obedience. Now, we obey because we love him. Yes, we show him we love him through our obedience, but it's also through a fear of him. And it's not a fear that if we don't do it correctly, that he will strike us over the head, he will beat us, or cast us out because we didn't get it perfect. The fear is speaking of an awe of him. To those who have an awe for him or a desire to worship him, to reverence him. So think about this. How do we reverence him? How do we worship him? How do we show him we love him? By obedience. So when we choose to be obedient to his word, when we choose to be obedient to the commands that he has given us to do, we are worshiping him, we are walking in awe of him, and we are showing him that we love him. And to those who love him, who worship him, who have an awe of him, who choose to walk in obedience to his word, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter what it may cost us, no matter what we may lose that we love by obeying him, when we do those things, then we know that we can be, as the psalmist said, to those who fear him, he has set up a banner over them, or he has set up his army over them. He has put a hedge of protection around them. There is an army standing by, protecting them and ready to fight for them and ready to attack the enemy on their behalf. He is the one who is fighting on our behalf. Let's look at John chapter 15 and verse 9. As a father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I bring this passage up because Yeshua brings up the same kind of concept, just with a little different terminology. We see in the Torah, we see in the Song of Songs, we see in Psalms, this concept of this army, that Yahweh is the one fighting for us, and he fights for those who are in covenant with him. Yeshua talks about us being in covenant with him and this idea of abiding with him or dwelling with him. Because see, that was what the Father wanted from us. He wanted to have communion with us. He wants to abide with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And that was the very purpose of why Yeshua died upon that cross. So he instructs us to abide in his love, or to stay in his love. When we stay in his love, remember, his love for us is the fact that he has his banner over us, or he has his army over us, standing by, ready to fight on our behalf. So abide, or stay in my love. So how do we stay in his love? Yeshua tells us in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you follow my commandments, if you follow my Father's commandments, if you follow the instructions given within the Torah, you will abide in my love. He says, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yeshua stayed in his Father's love because he abided in his Father's commandments, or he kept his Father's commandments. You could even say that his Father had a banner flying over Yeshua. He had his army flying over Yeshua, protecting him, fighting against the enemy on his behalf. So that when the right time came, Yeshua would lay down his life at the right time on his own accord. And it's very interesting. Verse 11, I have spoken these things that your joy may be full. Walking in his commandments, being obedient to his word, actually brings joy unto our lives. Sin can be pleasurable for a season, but it does not bring joy. Ultimately, it brings destruction. Obedience brings joy and brings peace. And with this, as we walk in him and we abide in him, he calls us his friend. Just as Abraham was known as a friend of God, we can be his friend. So let's be like Abraham, who feared God, who was willing to be obedient to God and what he instructed and told him to do, even though it looked like he was going to have to kill his one and only son, the one he had spent years waiting for, the one who represented the promise of why he left his father's land to live in a strange and foreign land. He was willing to sacrifice his son to be obedient to God. And because of that, and because Abraham feared God, He believed in God. He kept all of God's instructions and commandments. Because Abraham did that, he was called a friend of God. And if we can be as Abraham, if we can possess the belief that Abraham had, because it's the belief that must come first. And because of that belief, we can have the same fear and obedience that Abraham had. And we can be counted as a friend of God. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We are so glad that you have joined us. We will be back again next week. And next week, we will be celebrating the Feast of Shavuot. So I hope you join us for that teaching, as we will be bringing a special teaching regarding Shavuot, or as some would say, the Feast of Weeks, or as some in Christianity would say, Pentecost. So come back and join us next week, and shalom, y'all.